Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let's sing his words. Today's message is entitled, On Your Authority. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and then it fell with a great fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Amen. You know, I remember... It seems like it was a long time ago, but remember when computers started coming out and churches were really pretty slow to get to them. But I remember it was about the fifth meeting we had at our little church, and eight of us who had gathered around faithfully to see what we could do and learn how to use these computers. You must understand now, these were pretty sharp folks, and however, the frustration level was just about to the boiling point. One person said, "Frankly, this is just wasting our time. We don't need this." I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but that's how it was going. And then I was asked to be the chairperson of the new computer task force. Well, that was a foolish thing to do because I didn't know much about it at all. But we had invited all the professional people in our church who were computer gurus. I mean, they were just brilliant in computers. And one by one, the experts would come to us and say, "Now, tell us what you'd like to do with the computers." They said, "Tell us what you want us to design it. We'll make programs for you." And the experts used words that I didn't even know were in the dictionary. And I was beginning to believe that I never would use computers in the work of the church because it was just so overwhelming. Well, we anticipated a long, dull night on our last meeting, but we had invited these two men from North Carolina. They happened to be Baptist clergy. One was a minister of music, and the other man was a pastor. And they had been working with computer for some time. You know what? It was amazing. When they arrived, they came in very quietly and said, we'd like to talk to you about what computers will do for you in your church. And they said, we'd like to show you this. And then they were talking about what it would do for our membership records. And then they said, you know, how would you like to know how many classrooms you're going to need 5 years from now? And how would you like to know? And they began to ask the kind of questions that we hadn't even thought of. We realized that these men were not really technological experts or authorities, but they were persons who knew the answers. You see, more importantly, they knew the questions. Our committee realized right then that since none of us really knew how or what computers would do for us in the church, we could not even ask the right questions. But these clergy from North Carolina were great guys, and we got installed, and we used the computers. And what a tremendous thing it did for us. But I thought, you know, how amazing these men who were not the kind of experts that we had talked to before, but these men were experts because they had authority. And their authority came from what they had experienced with the use of this equipment. Now, to make kind of a jump from there, this authority idea is such an important thing because it has to do with how you live your life. Jesus was still on that mountainside teaching to all the persons who had come and listened. But then Matthew tells us that the crowd was astounded. That's an important word. They were overcome, astounded by the authority with which he spoke. You see, he was not speaking like a person who was reciting from a book. He was speaking like a person who not only knew the words, but lived his life in the same way. His words were not a mere rehashing of old ideas, but they were words that were just, they had a mysterious kind of sense of life about them. You know, I began to think about people whose lives have touched mine, who had that kind of authority. I recall Reverend James Van Leer. James served as pastor for more than 60 years. He was ordained in the Disciples of Christ Church, and he's just an incredible guy. His wife was so precious, and they served the church together all those years. Well, Van died a few years ago, and he was 85 years old. Do you know he preached until he was 84? Van served most recently as the pastor of the Prairie Avenue Disciples of Christ Church in Decatur, Illinois. Now, over the 20 years he was there in that church, it grew from 100 members to more than 800. Now, to my knowledge, Van was not a very dynamic or powerful preacher. Some would consider that to be the key thing, but he was not. If you were looking for someone to do a great television special, Van was probably not your man. But I'll tell you this, if you wanted a man who spoke with authority and people listened, you could never search any place across the world, and I doubt you'd ever find anyone who stood taller than the Reverend James Van Leer. You see, Van's life was everything he preached. When he spoke, he was believable because he spoke from the heart and not for the camera or the microphone. Now, Judy and I were blessed to know Van and Olive because of their daughter, Betsy. Betsy's husband was a distinguished engineer. He traveled across the world giving papers and so on in various engineering audiences. But Betsy was a registered nurse. She's now with the Lord. She died of cancer. But you know, during her life, they had met many of the life's joys and heartaches, and they stood firmly on their faith and modeled for them by their parents, especially by Betsy's parents, Van and Olive. You know, during most any week of Betsy's life, she visited more shut-ins or persons in need than any of her six pastors. She was a registered nurse. And after she had retired, she began to commit her life to Christ even more. And she visited so many people and cared for so many people, from food to standing with people who were about to die. But you know what? Betsy never made any public speeches, to my knowledge. She was not a person that was in the public's eye at all. But somehow, everyone knew that when Betsy said something, she spoke with authority. By that I mean, you see, her life and the life that she lived and professed was, it bore witness to who she was in Christ. And she had authority. Now, there's another kind of authority. I think of a young man named Greg Grant. Greg is a motorcycle policeman for the Fulton County Police Force here in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. And when he is on his motorcycle and he has his helmet on and his badge and his weapon and rides that motorcycle and you see that white hat and those flashing lights, you know he has authority. And he's one of those guys who directs traffic, or he'll be standing out with his radar gun. And yet when people meet him, they're almost glad that he gives them a ticket, because he has such respect for him. I met him because he came to sing in our choir church. Never would have believed it when I realized that what he did for a living. But he sang in the choir. He was in the marching band at Florida State University, played the trumpet. Just a great guy. About a year ago this month, he went in to have his cholesterol checked. And the doctor said, your family history of cholesterol is terrible. Everyone has high cholesterol, but yours is extremely low. But I have to tell you, you have leukemia. I'm sure you can imagine the shock that this 32-year-old young man, healthy, virile, just an incredible person, his wife, Wendy, and their two children. It was just overwhelming. He began to go through the chemotherapy, and along the way, the news just got worse and worse. Every once in a while, there was some hope, but then it was dashed against the rocks. But Greg remained faithful to it. At one point, he came to me, and he said, Reverend Wolf, I need to tell you that they've given me only a 25% chance to live. He said the treatment possibilities are just not very hopeful, so I'm not going to take what they want me to do. I'm just going to live my life with my children and my wife as long as I can. I know God will be with me and with them, and I trust him with everything. People heard that news and saw him beginning to live that way, and then recognized a new kind of authority. He didn't talk about what might happen. He did it in his own life. I can give you good news, good friends. Just about 2 months ago, we got the news that they found a bone marrow transplant donor who matched 9 out of the 10 required markers. I don't understand all the mathematics of that. But as we are here today, Greg is receiving that bone marrow transplant. They're singing happy birthday to him because it's a new lease on life for him. It's going to be a challenge. But I want you to know that when someone faces life's most difficult times, when they can go through that with a faith in Christ, they have a new kind of authority. The authority they don't ask for, it's just there. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I want to ask you today to just remember that you have authority, that God has given you that through Christ, and your life will speak for you. You don't have to know the big words. What you have to do is to know that God is with you. And everywhere you go, people will know that you have a rare kind of authority. Would you claim that in your life today? Amen.
John Wolf, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so very much. You know, Judy and I have a friend whose name is also Judy. Judy died just suddenly a couple of weeks ago, and we really have been struggling with the news that she was gone. We were not able to go to her funeral, but we chose to write a few things that someone might read at her funeral. When we began to write, we both realized that our words were very much alike. Judy was in her 70s. She was widow, mom, grandmother, great-grandmother, and loved to play golf and work as a volunteer in a hospital. And she was extremely active in her church. Now, there are a lot of people who do some of the similar kind of things. But what made Judy so important and so important to so many folks was her contagious spirit. For example, if you were in a discussion with her, you never had to wonder what she was thinking or how she felt about it. I mean, if you disagreed with her, it was fine, you're friends. But you always knew she was always trying to do the right thing. To say that she was opinionated, well, that's quite an understatement. But always willing to do the right thing. Judy was an extraordinary Jesus follower. Judy Freed reminded me of the Apostle Peter. Not only did he speak out boldly and make some mistakes, but he was always willing to learn the real truth and do his level best to do the right thing. I suspect that that's why Jesus was able to trust the beginning of the whole church with the Apostle Peter. Please send us a note, comment to us. You can check us out on Facebook or go to our website, MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. I pray the Lord will bless you abundantly today. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.